It's time to get up and get your day started.
Morant. Oh! A jawbreaker!
It's Sports 56 Mornings with Greg Gaston and Eli Savoy on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. The first hour of Sports 56 Mornings is brought to you by the Big Green Egg. Now, here are your hosts, Greg and Eli.
Happy Friday, everybody. Welcome in. Time for the Friday, May 3rd, 2024 edition of Sports 56 Mornings. Getting you set for the sports weekend. Greg Gaston, Eli Savoy, Zach Boyd, a cast of thousands here in the Family Leisure Studios. Family Leisure located at 2120 Witten Road, just north of I-40. Their spring sale continues with factory direct pricing on swimming pools, spas, patio furniture, and so much more. Check them out this weekend. Family Leisure. And the first hour of the program brought to you by the Big Green Egg. We talked extensively about that yesterday. Patio season, certainly grilling season is upon us. Man, just feel the temperatures out there. Take advantage of it with a Big Green Egg. Well, today you're looking at another warm day, but you will probably see a little more of the wet stuff. We got a lot yesterday afternoon into the evening. Today, it is currently 68 degrees, looking at a high of 81, so not as warm as it's been the last couple of days. Scattered thunderstorms developing this afternoon, with the chance of rain at about 40%. Tonight, 65, considerable clouds with occasional rain showers. A thunderstorm is possible, 48% chance tonight of precipitation. And then for your Saturday, 83 degrees, about a 34% chance of rain. Hopefully it will stay away. You got the big Showboats Birmingham Stallions game tomorrow morning starting at 11 o'clock, and hopefully it'll be a nice weekend. Sunday looks to be okay again with about a 50% chance of rain, but we'll see a lot of sunshine on Sunday with a high of 81 degrees. Coming up on the program today, the Memphis Tigers, if you missed it last night, land another basketball player. We will discuss that here on the program. We'll talk NBA playoffs. As the Knicks-Sixers series is over, six epic games. Also, the Pacers dispose of the Bucks. We will talk about that and what's on store for tonight as far as the NBA playoffs are concerned. Also, Memphis has put together a committee to find their new athletics director. We'll tell you who's on that committee. And as we've talked about for the last couple of days, the antitrust suits that the NCAA is dealing with, they're trying to negotiate a deal and try to keep this thing from going to trial in January. Well, it is going to be epic if they all agree to terms and will change the course of Division I athletics for the future. There is no question about it. We're talking about financially impacting everything that's going on, everything you know in D1 sports. That's how important that story is. John Varlas will join us at 7:25. He wrote a very important story the other day about what was happening and what is happening at Collierville High School with their women's basketball coach, but also their men's basketball coach, or boys basketball coach, rather. Sean Taggart, the former Memphis Tiger, was let go, but both coaches were let go. And some interesting things that have developed as far as that story is concerned. John wrote about it. We'll talk to him about that, among other things. Houston Nutt at 8:05, former head coach at Arkansas and Ole Miss, among other schools, former CBS Sports football analyst, will be in town Monday. He'll speak at the Memphis Touchdown Club, and we'll ask him about these stories that are out there and that the course of college sports, especially college football, changing. It's already changing a lot, but changing even more here in the not-too-distant future. At 9:05, we'll look at the Kentucky Derby through the eyes of Ed DeRosa from Horse Racing Nation. He'll break it down for you and hopefully give you a winner, maybe even give you an exacta or a trifecta. That'll be coming up at 9:25, I should say, 9:25. We'll do 10 in a row, the game show that has swept the nation. We'll do that at 9:05, so a little earlier than usual, give you a chance to win a great prize package. And, of course, we'll take your calls and texts on the Sissy's Log Cabin listener lines at 901-360-8255. Big shout-out to Sissy's Log Cabin. That's your lineup for this Friday edition of Sports 56 Morning. So kick back, relax, and enjoy. Good morning to you.
Good morning. Happy Friday to everybody out there. Big, big weekend coming up. You got the Star Wars Day followed by Cinco de Mayo. Big, big weekend.
Star Wars Day? The 4th be with you? Okay, I get it now.
Yeah.
You're not a Star Wars guy, though.
Never seen a single one of them. Never seen a minute of one of them.
You've never seen a minute of Star Wars? Wow. I am the complete opposite of one of those sci-fi geek type people. And that's fine. Look, that floats your boat. But I've seen the Star Wars. And you haven't seen one second of it. And then Cinco de Mayo, of course. Now, you've partaken in a few Cinco de Mayo celebrations.
I'm a big fan of Cinco de Mayo.
I'm sure you are. So, yeah, it is a big weekend. And another big sports weekend, as we mentioned, with the Kentucky Derby, the NBA playoffs, Stanley Cup playoffs, even with football, the UFL, and the Showboats playing against Birmingham, the Stallions, Major League Baseball rolling right along. Never a dull time in the world of sports. Well, last night, Memphis and Penny Hardaway and his staff have corralled another player with American Conference ties. Although now SMU has moved on to the ACC once, I guess, the new scholastic calendar begins on July 1st. But Memphis does get former SMU forward Tyreek Smith, who is a defensive-oriented player, a guy who has the ability to rebound the basketball and block shots. He started only 13 games for SMU of their 33, played 19 minutes per game, but averaged 8.2 points, 5.4 rebounds, which is good production in 19 minutes, and 1.7 blocks, 6'8". He's from Baton Rouge originally, has played at a couple of different places, including Texas Tech, where he started his career, moved on to Oklahoma State. Last year played at SMU, as I mentioned, and now will play in the American Conference for 1 year with the University of Memphis. So not that 6'11", 7-foot guy that I still think they need, a real, real legitimate big, but this is a guy who plays bigger than what his dimensions are, his 6'8" frame. And so, who knows? Again, everybody's guessing right now. If anybody says they know all about these players that have come in for Memphis and know that they're going to have this great chemistry, you're lying through your teeth. But I like the fact that this guy is more defensive-oriented. I think Penny has gone back to his roots in the players he has put together strategically this year for the 2024-25 team, in the sense that they, not all of them are known for defense, but several of them are. And that's what they were lacking last year, that consistency throughout games of playing defense first. And that's what Penny has really hung his hat on. So I give him credit for going out and finding those players. It's interesting, again, that's the third player with the connection to the American Conference, as SMU played in the American this past season for a final time. But you got an SMU transfer, you have a Tulsa transfer, and once again, you have a Wichita State transfer.
And Tyreek Smith played alongside Musa Cisse for 2 years at Oklahoma State.
What are you saying here, Eli, if anything?
I'm saying he played alongside Musa Cisse for 2 years at Oklahoma State.
Like I said, are you inferring anything? Are you saying?
I'm stating a fact.
Okay, all right. Just wanted to make sure. But yeah, Musa Cisse, who still is contemplating his future, which could include a return to Oklahoma State, could include a return to Memphis, will not include a return to Ole Miss, and then everything else is probably on the table. So there we go. Some news from last night, first reported by John Rothstein.
It is, it makes me laugh every time one of these happens. Like, here's a kid who is going to be playing at his fourth college.
Right.
And like, it doesn't even like, that just is normal now.
It is. It's
like,
normal.
Like, it's not even like, in back in the past, like somebody was transferring to their fourth school to play college basketball. What in the hell's going on here? Now it's like, okay, he's playing at his fourth school. So what? It's so bizarre.
Well, the other thing too, and this was brought up yesterday by Jeff Goodman, if you follow him on X. And what is kind of out the window, it's always been somewhat when it comes to athletes, but the student-athlete aspect. What about grades?
Now, if you're a grad student and you've got the 1 year and you're taking grad classes, okay, that's a different ballgame. But other undergraduates, how many of those classes, those courses, and those credits carry over when you transfer 2, 3, 4 times? Where are you academically? Are you in good standing? We kind of forget about that stuff. But they are still, I'm using the air quotes, student athletes. Pretty soon they're going to be in paid employees. So that's something that has to be considered. And that has been brought up actually when it comes to Musa Cisse's status. But anyway, Tyreek Smith. So you're talking about 6 players now that Penny Hardaway has brought in to the fold. 3 of them, as I say, have connections to the American Conference, although SMU is leaving to go to the ACC. From the NBA last night, 2 games, 2 teams moving on, 2 teams eliminated. The Pacers took down the Bucks with relative ease, 120-98, with the return of Damian Lillard, but with no Giannis Antetokounmpo, the Bucks were in trouble from the get-go. Even when they had Giannis and Dame playing together, once they made the coaching move with Doc Rivers, it just hasn't worked for whatever reason. The Bucks are not far removed from an NBA title, lose by 22. Give a lot of credit to that Pacers team. It had been a while since they been in the playoffs and advanced to a second round. They got a nice performance from their bench as T.J. McConnell came off the bench for 20 points and 9 assists. Obi Toppin at 21 points and 8 rebounds. Tyrese Halliburton, a really good, solid all-around game, 17 points, 10 assists, 6 rebounds. Bobby Portis at 20 and 15 for Milwaukee. Brooke Lopez at 20. Dame Lillard's return got him 28 points, but not nearly enough.
Yeah, and then old Patrick Beverley.
Pat Bev?
The complete fraud that he is.
Throwing basketballs, not doing interviews with people who are not following his podcast, not subscribing to his podcast. I mean, he's a weirdo, too.
Yeah, I talked about it in the game, which they won, when he's out there dancing around and he's doing the too small gesture on every shot that he makes, everything else. It's all, he's, man, when they're winning, boy, he is Mr. Tough Guy, everything else. And then, like, it starts going bad and you're just firing basketballs at fans. What are you doing? Like, seriously, what are you doing?
He has an image to uphold to, which is not a good image. He's just a strange cat, too. There are several of those strange cats in the NBA, and he's one of them. He's near the top of the Delta Pledge.
He's an idiot.
Well, idiot, he's a strange combination idiot of the two. That's what he is. He is what he is. Yeah,
I mean, you hit one fan with a basketball, the basketball gets thrown back to you, and then you fire it harder back into the stands. You know, and Portis is the same thing. Arkansas fans, you need to be embarrassed by these guys. Let's just be honest. Portis, did you notice when the whole thing happened when James Johnson came out there to confront Portis? Portis was really, really quiet. And then soon as he gets about 20 feet away and there's like 10 people in between him, he turns around and starts yelling back at the Pacers.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you didn't want anything from James Johnson when he was standing right there in your face. You had a perfect opportunity. You were really tough to Halliburton. And then as soon as Johnson's there, you shut up, you walk away, and then you turn around and start yelling again.
Well,
these guys are complete frauds.
You need distance when it comes to James Johnson because he can hit you from every different angle with his martial arts background. Yeah, they are. And Beverley is the leader. And he will. What do you think the NBA will do to him?
I would assume it will be a pretty lengthy suspension.
Which will be given to him for the beginning of the 24-25 season, now that it's over for Milwaukee. In the meantime,
I mean, if you're Adam Silver, like, you, again, he didn't just throw the ball in the stands one time and hit a fan. He got the ball back and fired it harder into the stands. Like, you can't allow that stuff to happen. Like, that, you have to send a message to, like, this is absolutely unacceptable stuff. And again, it's not like Patrick Beverley doesn't have a track record of idiotic behavior. Again, the locker room stuff, just, he's just an absolute moron.
How much? 10 games to start next year?
I would at least go 10 games.
Okay. And then you saw afterwards in the locker room, he's doing interviews. He refused an interview with an ESPN producer because the ESPN producer didn't subscribe to his podcast.
And he pushes her microphone out of his face. Like, tells her to get her microphone out and pushes the microphone.
Right.
Like, again, he's such a fraud.
Yeah, I mean, it's that bad boy image that he's had since day one, and he doesn't want to break away from that. So he continues to do stupid things. In the meantime, there's bigger issues for Milwaukee and the future. Again, not far removed from an NBA title. You have Giannis Antetokounmpo, one of the best players on planet Earth, and Damian Lillard, one of the great shooters on planet Earth, along with other guys who can play the game pretty well. Brooke Lopez isn't chopped liver. Chris Middleton isn't chopped liver. The aforementioned Bobby Portis coming off the bench mainly. They got players, but I don't know what happened with that team once Doc Rivers took over. They made the initial mistake when they fired Budenholzer a couple years ago. I don't know. They imploded, but self-inflicted wounds. So I don't know. I don't know what Bobby Marks does his kind of wrap-up synopsis once the team is eliminated. I haven't seen his yet on Milwaukee. I'll be curious to see. Because that's one of the teams that should be right there at the top of the East, battling every single year while they have this type of talent, this bevy of talent. In the meantime, that one to me, once even Dame's return, once Giannis wasn't returning, that series was over. The other one was the one I really cared about. And that was of the two last night, Philadelphia and New York. And if you watch that one, folks, you saw a bit of everything. And in the end, you saw Josh Hart, who had a fairly quiet game, hitting a huge three to propel the Knicks to a win over the Sixers, beating them once again in Philly. And once again, Knicks fans found tickets and got their way in and won the series 4-2. And Jalen Brunson is a dog. This guy is a dog. 41 points, 12 assists as well to go with those 41 points. You had the OG Anunoby posterization of Embiid with that dunk, that high-flying dunk. You had Dante DiVincenzo go for 23 points, hitting 5 of 9 threes. Remember, they don't have Julius Randle. I don't know if they're better without him, but they seem to be. They lost Bogdanovich, one of their guys coming off the bench. And they looked fantastic. Fantastic. The Knicks are a fun team to watch. And Thibodeau has made a big difference in what this team is all about.
That was one of the great games you'll watch. Just the ebbs and flows from the Knicks jumping out to the 22-point lead in the first quarter, and then the 76ers come back and take the lead at halftime. 76ers extend the lead in the third quarter, and you're thinking, okay, now 76ers are going to win the game, and we're getting a game 7. And then the Knicks come flying back in the fourth quarter, and it looks like they've got the game locked up with about 3-4 minutes left, and then the 76ers come back again, tie it up. Maxey's hitting big shots. Then Hart hits the big three. Brunson was amazing in the fourth quarter, just hitting big shot after big shot. I mean, it was absolutely just awesome, awesome stuff to watch. You got the three Villanova guys in Philadelphia all hitting huge shots, making big plays down the stretch in that. I mean, it was just absolutely everything. Like, that's what NBA playoff basketball needs to be. It was just such an entertaining game. I mean, it was just, every bit of it was just absolutely fascinating to watch.
Well, and it doesn't hurt that those teams are rivals, that they're separated by, 90 minutes, hour and a half, basically, New York to Philadelphia, if that. Go across the state of New Jersey on the turnpike and get to Philadelphia. So, to have that rivalry, those two heated rivalry, or those two heated fan bases getting into each other's grill, whether the game's at the Garden in New York or whether it's in Philadelphia. And then, as you mentioned, just quality basketball, big-time shot-making, big-time blocks, big-time defense, strategic as hell. Again, Thibodeau making a difference in New York, but the biggest difference-maker is Jalen Brunson. And when New York signed him, I thought they probably overpaid. I thought Brunson, yeah, this is a guy who's really good. Maybe I didn't, maybe I was naive that I didn't realize, no, he's more than just very good. He's a superstar. Jalen Brunson is a superstar. He is, look at the games. Look at what he did in that series. Every single game. Every game. The guy's not the biggest guy in the world. He finds room. He's able to get to the hole when he has to. He's able to distribute, but make big shot after big shot. That was fun. If I was a Philadelphia Sixers fan, I'd be upset today, but I'm not. I never was, even though I'm from that area. But the Knicks deserved that series win. And Joel Embiid, 39 points, 13 rebounds. At times in that series, he looked like old Joel Embiid. At other times, he looked like decrepit, injured Joel Embiid. Once again, Sixers falling short with Embiid. There are people that say it has to be Tyrese Maxey moving forward as being the alpha, and Embiid kind of taking a step back to Maxey, plus other pieces they need. I don't know what direction Philadelphia is going to go in. I know their owner will spend money, but it hasn't worked out the way they had hoped with Embiid, certainly one of the great players in the NBA. And I give him credit for battling back from injury this year. You know, he could have taken the easy way out, which I think some players have done in their histories, but certainly he did not. But it just wasn't good enough.
Yeah, I mean, he's limping and everything else, and the dude goes for 39 and 13. Like, he is amazing. How'd you like to be the 76ers? And for your $40 million that you're paying Tobias Harris this year, you got a goose egg in an elimination game. Dude's making $40 million.
Gosh.
0 points in an elimination game.
I'd run him out of town on his train. That's what I would do if I was a fan. Well,
76ers have their offseason is going to be interesting because they only have like three guys under contract for
right.
next year.
Right.
Now they'll re-sign Maxey. He's a restricted free agent, but they can wait to do that. They have salary cap space out the yin yang. Mm-hmm. They can basically make it up to $60 million basically in cap space if they want to. So they have all kinds of different things they can do. And they've got draft picks. Like, they've got all kinds of flexibility and directions they can go with this thing. So, however, they we'll see what they're able to do around Embiid and Maxey, but it'll be interesting. Who knows who you can lure with all that cap space, all of that thing, any big name free agents, whatever. But they have so much flexibility of what they can do this offseason that Daryl Morey is going to have a interesting few months.
A little bit later on in the show, I want to discuss some of the things that were in Mark Giannotto's article last night from his conversation with the contingent from the University of Tennessee who were in town, the big orange caravan making a stop in Memphis yesterday, and what Rick Barnes had to say, what Josh Heupel had to say, and in particular, specifically, what AD Danny White had to say about the city of Memphis. We'll do that later on in the show. When we return, John Varlas will join us in the studio. John had an interesting story that he wrote about that has to do with Collierville High School basketball. We will dive into that with John. As we always do, we have fun with Mr. Varlas. That's coming up. Houston Nutt will join us at 8:05 as we take a look again at the big antitrust suits going on against the NCAA, which appears to be closing in on a settlement that will change the course of Division I athletics as we know it. That's how important that story is. Jenkins Floors & More invites you to their retail warehouse where they pass wholesale savings on to you. Jenkins Floors in Hernando at 6 East Commerce. Little Rock in Cleveland, Mississippi. They specialize in flooring and carpeting, tile, plantation shutters, and blinds. Jenkins will make your life easy. If you go with Jenkins, 2-week turnaround. That's their promise. They'll have the job done in 2 weeks. So contractors, builders, family projects, call them at 662-469-9350 for a free estimate. They will come to you. Owners Timmy and Rebecca Jenkins say hello to Sports 56 fans. They look forward to your business. We look forward to John Varlas. He's next. This is Sports 56 Mornings with Greg and Eli on Real Sports Talk, Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
Be sure to follow us at Sports56WHBQ on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube to watch live video of our shows, stay up to date with station events, and have chances to win prizes. Don't miss out on anything that's going on. Follow us at Sports56WHBQ. Now back to Sports 56 Mornings on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. This hour brought to you by the Big Green Egg. Here once again are Greg Gaston and Eli Savoy.
Welcome back, everybody. 7:28 just underway on a Friday. Already lots going on. We talked about the new Tiger portal news with Penny Hardaway landing a player that played at SMU last year. Of course, SMU in the American last year. And now we'll move into the ACC starting this season. We got into the NBA playoffs as well with wins for the Knicks and the Pacers. That means eliminations for the Sixers and the Bucks. And now time to dive into who knows what with our weekly guest, John Varlas.
It's time for Greg and Eli's weekly visit with John Varlas of the Daily Memphian. Check out John's prep sports coverage and much more at dailymemphian.com. John is brought to you by Shoot 360 Memphis, where the pros and preps go to get their shot on. Shoot 360 Memphis. Now here's John Varlas with Greg and Eli.
He is the award-winning prep reporter for the Daily Memphian, but so much more. He's John Varlas. You can follow him on Twitter at John Varlas. The Prince of Darkness joins us each and every Friday, and he is brought to you by Shoot 360 Memphis. Hey, John.
Hey, good morning, guys. Yep, Shoot 360 Memphis, the best place in town for parents and young players and players of all ages to develop their shooting levels and their passing levels too, Greg. They've got they've got these passing bays in there where you work on angles and I guess force and speed and all that, in addition to the shooting techniques where you shoot and you get real time feedback on your depth, your arc, your trajectory. It's real scientific. It's high level technology. It's technology used by NBA players like the great Steph Curry, among others. And it's right here in Memphis, right here in our own backyard. So if you're interested, parents, if you want to get your kids' game up to par, just call them 901-316-5500. Soon to be in Cordova, in what I understand is going to be a really, really nice location. I'm really looking forward to seeing that. Current location is in Collierville, 85 Market Street. It's a really cool location there. I've been to that one. It's fun. The people are wonderful. The technology is first class, and they'll get you better. Shoot 360 Memphis. Give them a call.
And when you're over there, you're skipping that passing bay because you're a shooter, right?
No, I'm pass. I'm a pass first.
I don't think so. I think you're a ball hog.
Totally. He's a chucker.
I don't even think you're looking at that passing bay whatsoever. I think you're just in there firing.
No, totally pass first. I have gone many a game without even taking a shot, yet still contributed to victory with timely rebounds and alert passing. That is a true fact.
John, we like to open up your segment, as you know, with usually a bone that you would like to pick. So do you have one today?
Yeah, small bone. There's no candy in the dish outside. and it's kind of a related bone. So last week there was some little candy in the dish, and I thought on the way out of here I would help myself to what I thought was a cherry, a hard.
Oh, I know what you did.
You know what I did? It was a Red Hot. Oh, it was so disappointing. Golly. One little sweet treat of wheat, a little tiny piece of hard candy, and you think it's a cherry and it's a Red Hot. So it's like, what a huge disappointment. So I'm just going to stick with the butterscotch, but today there's nothing there. So please refill the candy dish.
Well, usually we rely on you now to bring treats. You bring cookies, things
I
like
did.
That.
I brought wonderful cookies.
We're expecting you to provide the treats.
Well, I did. I did that. So it's not somebody else's turn. We're just two of us at my house. We can't be making cookies and doing stories 24 hours a day. We got to get some rest at some point.
I'm not saying you're this guy, but yeah. One of my friends is a guy that like doesn't have any like crap at his house. There's no cookies and cakes and candies and all that. But if I got something over my house, like when he would come over, he found that and he would eat it.
Yeah.
Oh, it's bad for you, but you eat it at my house, but you will not even have it at your house.
I'd probably find it if I came to your house, honestly.
I don't have
like
a lot
a bloodhound.
Of
that, but yeah. like a bloodhound on that scent.
Hey, yeah, the old habits die hard. I mean, you know, people know how to get the job done. Let's put it that way.
Well, John, not only do you you cover games and talk a lot of positive things about these young boys and girls and the players here in the area, but also occasionally you'll write a story that has not only a lot of interest, but of importance and a little controversial as well. And you wrote a story recently, in the last few days, about the situation at Collierville High School, where, quite ironically, both the boys and girls basketball coaches, Patty Gardner for the girls and our friend of the show, Sean Taggart, for the boys, have both been let go recently. But your story focused on Patty Gardner. And for those who don't know, kind of give us a synopsis, and then we'll dive into it, because sure. I think it's an important story.
Yeah. So Patty Gardner coached at Collierville. She coached there 2 years. This past season was one of the most successful seasons Collierville girls have ever had. They finished 23-12, but probably more importantly than that, they advanced to the sectional round, which is one game away from the state tournament. They played on the road in the sectional. They lost to an undefeated Clarksville team to end the season at 23-12. But, you know, really good season. I mean, Collierville girls basketball has hardly ever gotten that far. I think they went to the state tournament once way, way back in the day when Nikki McRae was there. Mm-hmm. But beyond that, you know, not much state tournament level success for Collierville girls. So, you know, very successful. You're doing a good job over there. Subsequently to that, you know, she has been fired. And, you know, the reasons for her firing, she's alleging it's because and it's interesting, Greg. She's alleging that it's parents at the middle school, not the high school. Parents at the middle school. She has three assistants on her staff. All three of her assistants are African-American. And her contention is that one of the assistants, she was asked to remove the assistant because parents at the middle school, some parents at the middle school, sent emails to Collierville High School administration saying they didn't want their kids playing for this particular assistant. So
did they give a reason why?
They did not give a reason to Coach Gardner. She does not know of any reasons why. Whether Collierville's administration has reasons for to be concerned about this assistant, I don't know. And we have, you know, gone through the proper paperwork to you know, see if we can get our hands in some of this correspondence and things like that, which hopefully we can. But, and that's a key element of the story that, you know, is kind of unknown right now. But, yeah, so there's concern on the end of the parents about this particular assistant. She was asked to remove the assistant. She said she was not going to remove the assistant from her staff. Somehow that kind of morphed into, well, you know, if you're not going to move the assistant, you know, the official reason they gave is they want a full-time educator in the building. She's not a full-time educator. She has a day job working for one of the TV stations. She works in sales. You know, her passion is coaching.
You're talking about Coach Gardner now.
Coach Gardner. And that's not uncommon. There's lots of coaches sure. who don't work in the building during the course of the day. But that's the official reason they gave for getting rid of her. Now, she alleges that it's not that. She alleges that it's white privilege from the parents at Collierville Middle School. You know, money privilege, good old boy network, people with money pulling the strings, you know, demanding certain players play and that type of thing. You know, get really messy. But I give her full credit. You know, she stood on everything she said in the interview. We reported what she said. We reported what Collierville's administration said in response, which wasn't a whole lot. And I don't know if that's because they don't have a whole lot to say or they feel like they can't say very much. You know, that's still a kind of a gray area too, but that's where we are right now. So, you know, we had our story. People can decide who they want to believe right now. But yeah, it's a mess. It's unfortunate. And ultimately, you know, as usual, the people that get hurt are the kids because they had, they had some quality players coming back. They had a really good season this year, like I said, and now they're going to be starting over again with a new coach. And that's where the unfortunate part is.
On a side note, didn't you used to have to be like a teacher to coach?
I think so. But that, yeah, that,
the public
that,
school. Yeah, that, public schools. I thought that was like a rule at one point.
It probably was, Eli, but that's gone by the wayside for a long. Yeah, there's lots of coaches all over the city that don't. You know, they use the phrase "work in the building." They don't work in the building. So it's not uncommon, and I don't necessarily think it's a bad thing. But you know, they're. You know, I would say there's probably some advantages to have your coach in the building too. You know, all day long.
They knew she didn't work full time. That is a ridiculous excuse in this case. Like, you just had one of the most successful seasons you ever had,
right,
with
right.
her not working in the building. So why now do you need a coach that works in the building? That is a poor cop-out answer from what it looks like.
Right. All I'm saying to you is that's their official position. That's what they're going on. They're not addressing any of the email charges. They're not addressing any of the white privilege charges. That's what they're going on.
It sounds like,
officially.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like she was just very outspoken and they probably didn't like that. And as Eli said, it seems like they're using that as the excuse to make the change. Now, I hate the term, what'd she call it?
White privilege.
White privilege. I hate that term. It's rich privilege. That's what it is. It's rich privilege. Not every person that is my color has that ability to be able to get things changed and get things done on their part. A lot of times it's people who have money. Now, in this situation, they're talking about people, Collierville High School. I mean, there's African-Americans in high school there as well. And it's not like there's not rich African-Americans as well. But I understand the point. I would rather have her used rich privilege because, again, once you start using color, then you're starting to use racism as the reasoning why. And it bothers me. I mean, Sean Taggart obviously was let go. He was an African-American coach. But the white privilege thing, and again, I don't know if this is what's true or not. I understand because that has been prevalent in society for so long. If you have the money, if you have the power, you expect to get things done. And in this day and age with parents, and it's happened over the years, don't get me wrong, it even happened when I was a kid. There'd be the one parent that thought their little Johnny or Joey should be playing, and they would scream at the coach. And yes, if that person maybe came for money, they'd probably have a little more power. Oh, I'm going to donate to this, or I'll sponsor this. Okay, then we'll let Johnny play a little bit more. That's what it seems like it is. But to parents today, a lot more of them, I think they expect their kids to be given things, handed things, and not work for them. Not all of them, but some of them. So to me, again, that's more like power privilege. A rich privilege, as opposed to just using the term blanket, the term white privilege.
I tend to agree with you, Greg, because there's certainly nothing that I can sit and scream and demand that gets done. You know,
I certainly can't.
You can't even get a candy dish filled.
I can't even get. It's true. It's a great point. But so two things come into play though, Greg. Number one is I think what we're seeing, you know, trickling into the public schools and maybe more so at you know, the suburban public schools, places like Collierville, Houston, you know, Arlington, as opposed to, you know, schools in the city. We're seeing where kids who have been in that school, it was the same thing we've seen in the private schools for some time. Kids who have been in the school, you know, for a long time, you know, they've grown up in the school, they get to be maybe 10th grade, maybe 11th grade year, and instead of, you know, starting or even playing as much, perhaps somebody else transfers in from somewhere else and takes that spot. And obviously, you know, that's going to frustrate players, and I understand that. You know, the coach's job is to win, and, you know, the coach's job is for he or she to find the best players they think they can get the job done. However, from the parent side, I can certainly understand their frustration. You're at a school for a long time, you do everything right, you work hard, you train, you go to all the practices, you know, you get to, you know, like I said, junior, senior year, you know, there's a certain, I guess the word is expectation, there's a certain expectation that, you know, if you do X, you know, you should get Y and Z in return, and sometimes that's just not happening. So I think there's some of that involved. Also too, Greg, which I think is interesting, and which I, you know, kind of frustrates me about the article is, you know, that, you know, Collierville's administration may know something about this assistant that we don't know, that hasn't been reported yet, you know, that what I'm trying to say is they may know something about this assistant where the parents might have had a legitimate concern about the assistant. And it wasn't necessarily because the assistant was African-American. You see what I'm trying to say?
Yeah.
So there might be things, too, going on that we don't know about. So just to throw out this blanket thing of, well, she's black, these parents are white, they don't want their kids playing for her, you know, because of that, you know, that may be true, but that may also be a little unfair, too, because we don't know. There may be very good reasons why the you know, the assistant was called into question by some of these parents. And this is where I wish Collierville would say, well, you know, hey, this is not necessarily a case.
Well,
if that's true, if there's something there, you know, say it. And mm-hmm. so that people can get the full story. I don't know. We're, like I said, we've done the proper paperwork to, you know, to try to get our hands on some of that email and personnel records and things of that nature. And hopefully we can do that. But right now it's just kind of looks like it's Coach Gardner is speaking the most loudly, and her message is the one that's getting, you know, transmitted and the one that's getting all the play. But I don't know if necessarily that's the correct message. It may very well be, but you know me, I'm fair and I'm trying to see both sides of it. And I'm not trying to throw Collierville under the bus. I'm not trying to throw her under the bus. We don't really know right now. It's a he said and a she said. And like I said, the readers can decide, and hopefully we'll be able to report more fully in the future.
Well, really, it's a she said, and they're refusing to say.
Right. Well, pretty much.
And they may not have anything to say because they may realize that there's nothing they can say that's going to defend this. And so they're going to stand by this whole, we want them to work in the building thing. Because the thing that's is weird. Is there any evidence at all or any explanation? Like, did anybody on the current team have a problem? Because it's all coming from the middle school, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's people that aren't even in the high school that are complaining and getting the high school coach fired, according to this, right?
The parents of varsity players who have said anything have been supportive. No, they're apparently no problem. Again, the ones who've said anything have been supportive. So apparently there's not a lot of problems there. But, you know, but here again, you know, we don't know what goes on behind the scenes. We don't know what Collierville's administration knows. You know, we just know what Coach Gardner is saying. And again, I'll emphasize, just to be 1,000% clear, she may be totally right, and that may be a problem.
Right.
Just a bunch of racists out there at West Collierville Middle School calling the shots, and that may be the truth. But
usually stories like this you hear about in the private school sector, not so much the public school sector. If what she claims is accurate, I mean, it's legitimate. I mean, everything I read about that story from you and her complaints are alarming. They're certainly alarming. If all that is true, it is alarming. The only thing I didn't like is the phrasing. I take exception to that phrasing. But I understand what she meant. But again, everybody doesn't fall into one category or the other. Let's be easy with this thing. A lot of times, it's money. If you have the money, you have the clout, you have the power, and you wonder why your little Jimmy or your little Johnny or your little Lisa isn't playing. But that's not always the case. But all it takes is a few loud people that have power.
Yeah.
And I think that's what the point she's making, if it's all legitimate.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
I
agree.
Okay, we'll take a timeout. We'll come back more with John Varlas.
This hour is brought to you by the Big Green Egg. Yesterday we had Kyle Storms on from Big Green Egg. And, of course, as he mentioned, May is barbecue month across the nation. And right here in town, of course, very big in the month of May. Big Green Egg will be here for Memphis in May's barbecue contest. They will be out there cooking up samples for folks. And they'll have their trailer out there. You can get all the information you could ever possibly want about the Big Green Egg. You could see it in action. You could taste food off the Big Green Egg. And I believe they're going to be giving you a chance to win a Big Green Egg out at Memphis in May as well. So go out there, check them out, or just go to biggreenegg.com to get all the details. You can find them at the Ace Hardware stores around town as well, Hamilton Fireplace, and more. It is the Big Green Egg.
You're tuned in to Sports 56 Mornings with Greg and Eli on Real Sports Talk, Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
We are Real Sports Talk, Sports 56 WHBQ. Available on your radio dial at 560 AM and 98.5 FM, as well as around the world online at sports56whbq.com. Take us with you everywhere by downloading the Sports 56 app. And at home, just say, Alexa,
Play Sports 56. Wherever you are, stay tuned in to Real Sports Talk. Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Now back to Sports 56 Mornings on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. This hour brought to you by the Big Green Egg. Here once again are Greg Gaston and Eli Savoy.
Welcome back, everyone. Final segment here in hour number one. John Barlas joins us each and every Friday. Houston Nut coming up at 8.05. All right, John. Aside from that story at Collierville, what's happening with prep sports as we get closer to the states and eventually the spring fling?
Well, we are down in the small private school division, Greg. This is interesting, too. We are down to the Final Four in soccer, and the reason I mention that is because there's a little private school right down the street from you guys, Westminster. We never talk about Westminster very much, but they went on the road yesterday. They went to University School of Jackson for a elimination soccer match, and they won 5-2. Biggest,
wow.
Probably the biggest victory in the history of their program. Because University of School of Jackson is a perennial power. They're a really, really good team, you know, year in, year out. They're really good. And Westminster eliminated them. So they are in the Final Four with ECS, Lausanne, and North Point. And those four will be in the semifinals starting Tuesday at St. George's as they, you know, continue to bid for the state tournament. Lausanne's the defending champion there. So that was big for Westminster. Really, really happy for them. Shout out to those guys over there. Baseball's going strong. We saw some really good pitching last night in Division II. Gavin Allen from St. George's threw a great game. Camden Armstrong from Lausanne threw a great game against North Point, the defending state champions. Pitching is just so important this year. Eli West from Tipton Rosemark struck out 13 batters in 7 innings and now they have a do or die game today against FACS in that tournament. So pitching is just so huge, and if you've got a couple of pitchers, you know, that's just major this time of year, and it really saw some good performances yesterday. The big public schools, they're having their district tournament out at Arlington. The district tournament is maybe not as important as the region tournament, but, you know, that's going on. Houston and Arlington will play today in Arlington in the winner's bracket. In large private schools, Christian Brothers and MUS play today in the first round of their tournament, and Briarcrest will host St. Benedict in the other half of the bracket. So lots of good stuff going on, lots of baseball, lots of soccer. We went out to Tipton Rosemark yesterday and covered some softball. They got a couple of girls out there that are breaking records left and right, so we'll be having them featured in the Daily Memphian here soon. And you know, track's coming up, big track qualifier next Saturday, and it's an exciting time on the road to spring fling. It really is. And hope everybody just keeps following us, keeps reading our stories, because we got cool stuff that you're not reading anywhere else, I don't think.
In the in high school baseball, is there any like rules, limits on like how often a pitcher
yes.
can throw? What are the
yes, and it's very technical and confusing. So I these aren't the specific numbers, but it's like it's something along the lines of where if you throw 100 pitches, you have to rest for 5 days. Okay. If you throw 70 pitches, you have to rest for 4 days.
Okay.
Yeah. And again,
but there are rules yeah, in place.
Those aren't the exact numbers, but it's along those lines. And you got to be really, really careful of that. There was a team last year, I think we talked about it, not in Memphis, but in another part of the state or maybe another part of the country. The kid threw like one pitch too many.
Oh, that's right.
Yes. I've heard of those things.
Yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm. So there's probably a guy on every high school staff who literally just does nothing but monitor the pitch counts. Cause you don't,
is there a limit like in a game, how many pitches you can throw?
That's a good question. I don't know. I honestly don't know. I know there's like I said, I know there's like
yeah,
a weekly limit. Yeah. Somebody text in if you know, because I'm not sure of that. I mean, I've seen, you know, kids throw upwards of 100 pitches. I don't think I've seen anything too crazy like 150 or 175, but I've certainly seen.
Well, I mean, it would be hard in a 7-inning game.
Yeah, I've seen 105, 110, no problem. Yeah.
Real quick, Mo Miller, new coach at East.
Yeah, former ACC player at Georgia Tech, formerly at Arlington. He's replacing Coach Rose that got the job over there at FACS. So yeah, hopefully Coach Miller can do. I mean, East is. I mean, when you talk about basketball brands in Memphis, you know, you're talking on the public school, you're talking East and White Station, and maybe everybody else behind them is jockeying for second place. I mean, that is a huge, you know, historical program over there, and you know, the enrollment's down, which is a problem like it is at a lot of public schools, but hopefully Coach Miller can get that thing turned around and get the Mustangs back where I know that they you talk about fan bases, that fan base over there is rabid. They expect nothing less than state championships with East basketball. So hopefully he can get them going again.
Just like it is in college basketball, you get the dominoes effect. D. Wilkes leaves. Right, to
exactly.
go to St. George's. Yeah. Coach Rose goes over from East to FACS. Right. It opens up that job.
Yeah.
And then Mo Miller grabs that one.
Yeah.
All right, John, great stuff as always. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you next Friday.
Okay, thank you guys so much. Have a great weekend.
You as well. John Varlas from the Daily Memphian. Follow him on Twitter at John Varlas. Again, he's brought to each and every Friday by Shoot 360 Memphis. Give them a call today at 901-316-5500 and register for their move from Collierville to Cordova.
Mother's Day is almost here, and you want to get mom something special this year? Well, head on over and see the folks at Genesis Diamonds. They've got all kinds of great things for you and for your mom, and you don't have to break the bank. They've put together a fantastic collection of great gifts, things that she can wear all the time, whatever it is you're looking for. I'm sure they can find something. Go by, see them, let one of their trusted advisors help you find that special, meaningful gift for mom. Maybe it's not for Mother's Day. Maybe it's for a graduation gift. Maybe it's for any other special occasion. Genesis Diamonds has something that's going to make that occasion just right, that beautiful piece of jewelry, to make it that much more special. They're the premier jeweler here with a reputation for high quality, extreme value. You will absolutely love the experience every single time when you go see the folks at Genesis Diamonds, Poplar and Perkins Extended.
You're tuned in to Sports 56 Mornings with Greg and Eli on Real Sports Talk, Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.